courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, August 9th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We often talk about gender pay disparity in the workforce, but when does that pay gap between men and women pay begin? New research suggests it often begins earlier than you might think, within just a few years of college graduation.
We know that the pay gap tends to widen as people go further into their careers. So if it exists just a couple years out, other research suggests it's likely only going to get worse.
Coming up, we'll talk with our higher education reporter, Melissa Korn, about why pay disparities are showing up so early in people's careers and the fields where the gap is the widest. That's after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
New research shows that the pay gap between men and women starts soon after they join the workforce. And that's true even for people getting the same degree from the same school. So how wide is the gap in different fields, and what's causing it? WSJ reporter Melissa Korn was part of the team that broke down the numbers for us, and she's here with more. Melissa, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Melissa, you looked at data the Department of Education collected on about 1.7 million college graduates 3 years after they entered the workforce. What were your key findings?
The education department collected this data from those who participated in the federal loan and grant program, got federal financial aid for school, for undergraduates, graduate students, across the board. And the journal broke the data down looking at what men and women from the same degree program at the same college earned. And this is looking at their earnings 3 years after graduation. And we found that there are fairly significant pay gaps between what men and women earn pretty much right out of the gate, even for people who went to identical programs. So oftentimes the gender pay gap is kind of dismissed as, oh, well, that's because certain people study different things. Women are concentrated in certain fields. Men study business, women study nursing. But it turns out that even within those programs, and even for people who were classmates, there's a big gap. So one of the more jaw-dropping stats we came across is that the median pay for men exceeded that for women 3 years after graduation in nearly three quarters of undergrad and grad degree programs. And that's looking at more than 11,000 programs at about 2,000 universities.
Now, in what fields was the gender gap the widest, and where did the research show the pay gap is narrow?
Some of the fields where men earn more than women, median earnings 3 years out, include nursing, accounting, business, marketing, criminal justice, health and phys ed, biology, psychology. Those are for the undergraduate majors. So really, it is just across the board. In some cases, it's a difference of $5,000 or $10,000. And in some cases, it's tens of thousands of dollars. There are some where men are earning nearly double what women earn. There were a few areas where women out-earn men for undergraduate degrees. That includes English. That was kind of the biggest gap, and that was only 6% more than the median earnings for men. And communication, media studies was also women earned a little bit more. Economics was near parity for undergraduate majors. Women earned just over 1% more than men.
All right. And just to be clear, does the data only track income levels at the three-year mark after graduation?
Right. So we focused on the data for people who were 3 years out of school and not enrolled somewhere else. So they weren't also enrolled in grad school and working part-time. These are people who either they had an income or they didn't, but they could have been in the workforce. 3 years out, yes, it's early in somebody's career, and that can be, you know, one of the limitations of this. We don't know how they fare 10, 20, 30 years out. But one of the kind of challenges here is we know that the pay gap tends to widen as people go further into their careers. So if it exists just a couple years out, other research suggests it's likely only going to get worse.
All right, so let's get into the reasons for this, you know, why it's happening. We often hear that one possible cause for the gender pay gap is women taking time off to start a family. What does this data have to say about that?
Right. So that's the motherhood penalty, where women are paid less, have less opportunity for promotion, either because they have kids or because there's an assumption that they'll kind of check out once they have kids. And plenty of research, academic research, shows that that is one of the causes of the gender pay gap. But this data shows that the gap exists even before many people are having families. So this is almost anticipatory penalty, perhaps, for some women, that, you know, there's just an assumption that eventually they'll have kids, so they'll then not be as committed to the job 10, 15 years later. This really kind of stands on its head, the more widespread assumption that we can just attribute so much of this to family status, women getting married and having kids.
So could it be due to something about the jobs that women tend to pursue after graduating?
Absolutely. So one of the main reasons for a gender pay gap really seems to be that men and women in certain fields go to pursue different career paths. So they might have studied the same thing and then take very different jobs, some of which pay more than others. For instance, at University of Michigan Law School, in the years that our data covered, many more men went into law firm jobs, while women were more likely than men to take jobs in public interest. So working for a public defender, a prosecutor, a nonprofit. The pay differential there is quite significant. So that can explain why we see these numbers, this differentiation by gender, if you have so many women going into one field, so many men into another. And some of that is because people are just pursuing a passion, right? They care more about a particular cause than they do about the paycheck. But some of it can also come from advisors steering them in particular directions. You know, they might be well-meaning when they mention, oh, well, those are long hours and, you know, you can't wear high heels in that sort of job, right? But people internalize those nudges and you get enough of them and you might start shifting your own plans.
And then, of course, there's the issue that often gets talked about when it comes to the pay gap, and that's the question of bias.
We definitely can't ignore discrimination in this conversation. You know, academics that we spoke with, labor economists who study the pay gap, say we're not beyond bias. There are likely hiring managers and people making compensation decisions who have assumptions about how women are in the workplace, how they'll be as leaders or how devoted they'll be, how aggressive they'll be in negotiating deals. And those biases can have a factor in whether they're hired and then whether they get promotions and salary bumps and things like that.
Now, Melissa, this debate has been going on for a long, long time. How does this data fit into that discussion? And what are we to make of all this?
So the data really shows that this is not a conversation or an issue that comes up when women are in their 30s. This really starts right out of the gate. And if you want to be closing the gender pay gap across people's careers, you need to be closing it at the start. That gap is not going to get narrower as people work their way through the careers. It also calls into question kind of whose fault this is, right? It's employers who are making their salary bids for new employees, for new hires. But can career services offices at schools be doing more? Can they mandate that companies list their starting salaries for campus recruiting and actually stick to it? Can career advisors be getting different training to make sure that they're not accidentally steering women in one direction and men in another? There are kind of a lot of elements at play here, and this helps reinforce the need to continue studying it because this gap hasn't gone away.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn. Melissa, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.